How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey there, and welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King. We're coming at you with another mailbag, chock full of questions. Again, doesn't matter that it's the middle of August. People have questions. We have got the answers for you. Among the questions, questions about Jaylen Brown's role still, trade questions, starting lineup questions, end of bench questions, so much going on. Before we get to that, though, I do want to mention for you, those of you who are Patriots fans like me, like Jay, please go take a look and listen at the Locked On Patriots podcast. It's a brand new thing. Jeff Howe from the Herald has just launched this Locked On Patriots podcast. So if you are a football fan, if you are a Patriots fan, go check him out. Newest addition to the Locked On Podcast Network. Definitely going to be a great addition. And we will be talking to him at some point here on the show to get a little, you know, a little Patriots, a little Celtics Patriots action. Both teams. I love going to Celtics games and seeing Patriots there. So I just wanted to get LeGarrette you guys to check.
LeGarrette Blount is like the greatest Celtics fan there is.
I mean, violently awesome. Like he needs to be restrained at some point.
He almost injured IT during the playoffs.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know Vince Wilfork isn't around now, but back when he was with the Patriots, I'd go to games and see him. He would walk straight at you and he was wide as hell. And he would turn profile and he was the exact same width. He was just a wall of humanity. It was awesome to see.
And I love how just like a guy like LeGarrette Blount can just immerse himself in the, it's not like he was in Boston for long. It's not like he played for the Patriots for a long time, but he just decided, you know what? I'm going to be the biggest Celtics fan there is. And I'm going to run on the court when the Celtics beat the Hawks. And
yeah,
I am going to almost murder Isaiah Thomas just because I'm really excited that he won a basketball game.
Yeah, it's so much fun. The players in this city support each other a lot, and I'm sure they do it in other cities, but I feel like there's something special about the way each team kind of supports the others when they have an opportunity. And since we're talking about Isaiah Thomas, let's just dive into this mailbag with @Murph_VT. Brian Murphy, is Isaiah Thomas good and effective enough to get us to the Eastern Conference Finals? Let's just get right to it, man. We're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas on his own?
No, not Isaiah Thomas on his own. I mean, he's an all-star. He's not a superstar, is how I would put
it. But this team with Isaiah Thomas
as
its point guard, yes. Yeah. That is absolutely true.
He's good enough. And people always talk about, is he good enough to be on a contending team? Yeah, of course. He's an all-star. How is that even a question? The guy's an all-star. He's an absolutely dynamic offensive player. He charges their offense, an offense that didn't have many good players, many shot makers at all, and not many good players, but many creators, and he led it to number 13 in the NBA. It was a better-than-average offense despite all the bricks that team threw up, and a lot of that is because Isaiah Thomas. So, yes, he is absolutely capable of starting on an Eastern Conference finalist, and he's capable of starting on an NBA champion. He's an all-star, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, and as you add better players around him, he'll be able to do more things. So it's not just about him and his individual abilities. It's him, his individual abilities, and his ability to take advantage of what is available on the court. And with guys like Al Horford on the team, that makes it just that much easier for him to operate. gives him that little bit more space, and he can get out there and do more things. So, and that's true of everybody. Better situation, better teammates, better results. Let me take this opportunity to remind you guys of the Locked On NBA podcast. If you go search that out, the latest episode, speaking of Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, the latest episode has an NBA scout talking about the Boston Celtics, among other teams, and you need to hear what he has to say about Al Horford's fit in Boston, where he brings the team, and where that puts the Celtics in the hierarchy of the East. So after you're done listening to this show, go ahead and search out Locked On NBA and check out what the scout has to say. So that's the Isaiah Thomas.
We're throwing dimes out here, man. We're throwing dimes. Don't ever say we're not team players. We're out here just guiding the offense, running the show, throwing assists everywhere, running that pick and roll, baby.
That's right. We're part of that Locked On podcast network. We got to be good teammates. When we do the Locked On podcast, the award show, we want to be voted best teammates.
I mean, we should probably also be voted MVP, but that's a different.
There's a lot of things, you know. Well, I mean, the first things first, we got to create the actual Locked On podcast award show. That's something that actually has to be created.
I like that.
We'll do it. Sure, why not? We'll hand them out ourselves if we have to. Couple of questions about Jaylen Brown, which I love because since we've answered the last questions about Jaylen Brown, he hasn't played a game. We haven't really seen much, but we're still going to get him. So at Eric 41234. These are great. One of them, what would your opinion be on Jaylen Brown? What's he going to be able to do this year given the minutes? And then the side question, will Smart improve? We'll get to that in a second. And then the other question, what do you think Jaylen Brown's ceiling is? Can he ever be our best player? Lots of Jaylen Brown questions because we just don't know what he is going to be. Yeah, I mean, can he eventually someday in his career be the best player in the Celtics? He could be. A guy with that level of athleticism, if you have the right drive and desire and the learning, the teaching to become a better basketball player, sure. If he can get the basketball ability to match his athletic ability, that's certainly possible. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but could he be our best player someday? I'm not going to say that's not possible when he hasn't played a single second of actual NBA basketball.
I love these questions because at this point, we're all just guessing. You know, we saw Jaylen play, what did he play, 5 or 6 games in the summer league? He missed a couple because he was injured. And, yeah, he's still what he was then, which is ridiculously athletic and flawed in a lot of ways. But he has the potential to be great. There's no denying that. He is strong. He is big. He is allegedly a hard worker. So we'll see. We'll see.
Seems to be.
I'm higher on him than I was when they drafted him. And I think that's a good thing. I thought he showed well in summer league. Obviously, still needs to learn how to put the ball in the basket. He'll join a lot of his teammates with that. But yeah, Jaylen. Yeah.
And Ivan Alexander 74. Is there a chance that Jaylen Brown plays some shooting guard this year? Look, it's who knows with what Brad Stevens is going to throw out there on the floor. He certainly could. I think he's going to just kind of play a limited role. I think let's set our expectations for Jaylen Brown this year. I would be surprised if he averages more than 10 minutes a game. I don't know that he's going to get 10 minutes a game. He may some games get more. He may get some DNPs. He may spend some time in Maine. I think there's such a wide swath that's available for him this year. I'm not going to expect much from him. Wide swath of possibilities.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I don't think it's that wide, to be honest. I think he's going to play. He's going to back up Jay Crowder. He'll play some minutes, like you said. There will be games when he either doesn't play or doesn't play much at all. And hopefully he'll develop, and hopefully he'll start to put the ball in the basket from outside the paint, and hopefully he'll learn how to finish. And hopefully he's the type of worker that they all say that he is. And we'll see. I mean, obviously he's a freak athlete, and that's a good foundation. And now he just has to learn how to play basketball. That's it.
He just has to learn how to play basketball. So, yeah, let's just kind of...
That's harsh. That's too harsh.
No, but it's
he
true.
He knows how to do some things really well.
He needs to learn how to play NBA basketball, which is different. He just needs to get to that next level. And that's just how it is. That just means learning NBA-level defenses, learning how to play on an NBA-level offense. He still does need to learn how to play basketball. It sounds harsh, but it's not. It's not. He's not a bad basketball player. He's just not an NBA basketball player just yet. Give him time. This is the big story that a lot of people were talking about over the weekend. Ray Allen. So we'll get this from 413 tweets as a representative question, because we got a few of these. Who would you cut to make room for Ray Allen? And the other questions we got, are we on board with Ray Allen? Jay, you go ahead. You go first.
I mean, I'm not cutting anyone to make room for Ray Allen, just because what's the point? The guy is 41. Yeah, he helps your team this year, but to me, you only add Ray Allen if your team can contend and he can help you. Otherwise, you're better off giving those minutes to a guy like Jaylen Brown, a guy like RJ Hunter, who's going to be around for the future or who could be around for the future. What is the point of signing Ray Allen, no matter how good a shooter he is, no matter how much he would help the current Celtics team? And I don't know how much he would help at this point. The guy's 41. He hasn't played in the NBA for 2 years. I know he's a freak about how well he keeps himself in condition, but it's been a long time since that man played basketball. And even when he was in the NBA, he was falling off defensively. So, to me, keep the young guys, stay away from Ray Allen, and yeah, that's all I got to say.
That's
even though,
basically,
I mean, his shooting would be perfect, obviously, but
well, you think theoretically, you think that his shooting would be perfect, except you're right about, and if you haven't read what I wrote about him on Red's Army on Sunday, you can go read that. It's basically a lot of the same thing. 41 years old. Out of the league for 2 years. That might as well be 5 years. At this age, to get back into that game speed, and the game has evolved even in those 2 years. It has changed a lot over those 2 years. And the guys just keep getting younger and more athletic. And we're expecting 41-year-old Ray Allen to go out there and guard those guys. Whatever he brings to the team shooting-wise, he could give up defensively on the other side. So. Yeah.
And one thing about those talks, you know, he said there was a report that he's talked to the Celtics, but we don't know when those talks happened. It might have been when they were still in the mix for Durant and they would have needed depth to build out the rest of their roster. So we don't know when those talks happened. We don't know the circumstances of this. All we know is that Ray Allen is old. Ray Allen is really old. And it would be kind of cool to see him back with the Celtics, although KG might not like it too much. But, yeah. Another thing, when Doc was on Woj's podcast, he said that it took KG 2 years to talk to Ray Allen, so they might be back on speaking terms.
Jeez.
They might have mended that fence. That's
maybe.
Big news.
Maybe. That's funny. Look, you're right. That was a good point. I think Ray Allen is done. He should go to Cleveland or Golden State or somebody like that just needs him to stand in the corner for a couple of minutes here and there and be dangerous. So I'm out on Ray Allen.
Yeah. It's interesting the Celtics would consider him, because I do think they were a little irritated when he left, because obviously they still had unfinished business and they still thought they could contend. And he left to Miami. So I do think that irritated them. Maybe if he came back, it would help him get his jersey retired at some point, and he could mend that fence. But, again, he's too old. No, Ray. Stay away. I don't know if I've ever shared this story on the podcast. So maybe a year ago, one of my buddies went to visit his grandparents in a retirement home, and I believe it was in Florida. I'm not sure, but he sent me a picture from poolside with Ray Allen, and Ray Allen was just chilling in a retirement home. I'm assuming Ray wasn't there by himself. He was probably visiting someone else, but still pretty funny that Ray Allen was in a retirement home.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on from Ray Allen. We're kind of done with that. We talked about this, but I'll mention it at Jimmy Chen 17. A lot of people think a Linux should start. Your thoughts? We both, I believe, in one of our most recent shows, picked Kelly Olynyk as the fifth starter. And we did so on the ESPN Boston summer forecast. We both selected Kelly Olynyk. Half the guys on there selected Kelly Olynyk. I think it's great. You spread the floor. You put Horford in there at the four, and you put Olynyk in the corner and make him a dangerous three-point threat. You have to respect him. Think about, Isaiah Thomas averaged six and a half assists last season. He could get up to seven or eight, I think, if you put that level of shooting out there, just drive and dish. So I'm all for Olynyk starting.
Yeah, I'm in. And one thing to watch, though, is his shoulder.
True.
Is he going to come back? I mean, he's supposed to miss about half of the preseason, at least. Is he going to come back and that's going to be hurting him and he's not going to be making shots? Hopefully he'll be able to come back healthy. And obviously he had surgery to be able to come back healthy. But it'll be worth watching at least to see whether that hinders him when he does come back to the court.
Yeah. And let's get into this at Pot Doc Music. What do you think the ceilings are for guys on our roster like Kelly, Jonas, and Jay? This season, I look forward to Kelly Olynyk's season. I think this situation helps him a lot. And after the shoulder thing, it is something to watch. I'm just going to work on the assumption that everything goes well. He gets back into it. And at some point in November, December, he's 100%. I think this could be a big season for him. And on top of it, he's got that restricted free agency coming up. And I think we can see what Kelly Olynyk was always supposed to be for the Celtics. If he can just be aggressive offensively, I like that. Jay Crowder, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does because I think he's got steps forward that he can take. Like what we saw last year was just the beginning. I think he can really improve his shooting. And if he can be at least the league average from three, he'll be dangerous. He'll be much more dangerous. And now imagine Jay Crowder, better three-point shooter, and Kelly Olynyk maximizing his potential as a three-point shooter. Now you've really got the spacing. So, and then Jonas is Jonas. I think Jonas Jerebko,
MVP of the entire league, Jonas Jerebko.
Yes. You stole exactly what I was not going to say at all. No, Jonas is Jonas Jerebko. I think he is who he is. I think Kelly has many steps forward to take. Jay Crowder has steps forward to take. Jonas is who he is. Jay King's favorite player.
Guy with great hair. Great hair.
And then we get into the lineup question about Jordan Mickey. Brandon Evanson, will Jordan Mickey have much of a role this season, which we've touched on before on the show, that he just may be a victim of the numbers game. He'll be around, and there's a possibility that he can get in, and you never know with injuries. There's always some kind of injury, and at the beginning of the season when Olynyk is still working his way back in, they may need Mickey to step up, and he's been working on his game. He's been working on improving his range and working on that three-point shot. Who knows? Maybe he surprises people, but I think that Mickey is going to be a bigger factor next season, and he's more insurance this season.
He's going to have to earn it. If he gets minutes, he is going to have to earn them, and he is going to have to go in there to training camp, preseason, whenever he earns the minutes, and he is going to have to play better than guys who are more established than he is, whether it's Amir Johnson, Al Horford, Tyler Zeller. There are a lot of guys in that front court, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko, a lot of guys that have a lot of experience. And Mickey doesn't have that right now, so he has to earn it. And Right now, I think he'll be out of the rotation. But, you know, all it takes is one injury, and you never know. Or just maybe he goes in and he plays well. But right now, I would be surprised if he has a regular role from day one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Charlie Healy, if we could start the offseason again, do over.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
What would we do differently? Would you do anything differently?
Huh. No. I think they played it right. I mean, obviously, you would love to have a superstar, but they almost got Kevin Durant, or at least they were in the room with Kevin Durant. You know, Russell Westbrook signed an extension. He wasn't available. I think the one thing that people are probably most irritated about was draft night. And, you know, talks with Chicago, talks with Philadelphia, talks with whoever else. But none of those guys changed places. Jimmy Butler's still on the Bulls. And all the guys on the 76ers are still there. So it's hard to say the Celtics missed out on any opportunities given what happened. And obviously their number one priority is flexibility and keeping all their options open just in case there is some opportunity in the future where they can trade for a star or sign a star or do whatever it takes to get a star. So they weren't going to go out and sign difference-making guys that make $12 million. As much as you love Teletovich, John, it just was never – they were never going to target a guy like that as much as he could help. So I think they did – they got the second-best free agent. They signed a guy, Jaylen Brown, who has great upside, and we'll see what happens there. And, yeah, I mean, there's not much you could change. Maybe the Sullinger thing. Maybe try to keep him around for a year. But even that is just picking nits. They signed Al Horford, a huge upgrade from him, and still have a deep, deep front court. So, yeah, there's not much to change there.
I agree that maybe I should not agree as much.
We should just start ripping each other apart, John. Come at my neck.
Yeah, I know. Like, but look, when you get two brilliant basketball minds like us, we tend to agree. We tend to make so much sense. It's hard.
Just brilliant. We're brilliant, guys.
And I can't fake it. I can't do what some people do, is put on a show that says, I'm going to fake it. What are you going to say? Okay, I'll take the other side just to make it sound good. Which, by the way, if you listen to sports talk radio, that happens. That happens. So
we should start doing that, man. We should start.
Don't
just,
think that's
just
all
organic. Each other.
Yeah, we just sit there and just. But I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, we're straight shooters out here.
This is it. You want questions, we're giving you the honest answers. We're not giving you
Or at least what
fabricated.
We think is the honest answer. And we can be idiots sometimes.
Absolutely.
Even though we're brilliant, we can be morons.
Brilliant morons. That's who we are. The Brilliant Morons Show. Pete Wells, at P. Wells with a Z. What happens with Nader? There's a great piece in the Globe on this. The headline was, is Abdel Nader too good for the D League? And it's another. It's so funny because he went 56th,
58th.
So two spots from the end, basically a throw. Now we shouldn't say it because Isaiah Thomas was the last pick in the NBA draft. So there's talent that can occasionally show up down there, and he had a great summer. I thought that at the end of Vegas, he was playing about as well as anybody except for Rozier and Jaylen Brown, and he wasn't that far off from what those guys were doing. But this is a good question, and it's a good problem to have. They got to figure something out because I'm sure they don't want to just cut him and let him go. You can't, if they really like what he's been doing and you have to sign him to bring him to camp, then if you cut him, you lose his rights and you have to try and do some sort of creative deal to keep him around. And I'm pretty sure that they'd like to at least keep him around a little bit, but they've got 18 guys and 15 spots, and there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of it gets decided on draft night, and on draft night, Nader, nobody expected him to get picked. Nobody expected him to go in the first or second round. So he was happy, and apparently they reached an agreement on draft night that he was going to go to the D-League. And then that was cool until, you know, he went to the Summer League and played like at least a borderline NBA player. So then all of a sudden D-League doesn't look like such a good option, and there are other things that he wants to do. So we'll see what happens there. I'm interested to see what happens, because apparently there was that agreement, and since then, you know, he just outplayed it. And
yeah,
and we'll see if he sticks with the agreement or decides to do something else. But yeah, we'll see. The Celtics drafted him obviously thinking he would go with the Red Claws, and then he was just really good at Summer League.
Yeah, and that could have just been a flash. He could go to camp and really, really struggle. We don't know. You would have some sort of expectation that the summer carries over, but that doesn't always happen. That we've seen guys have great summers, better summers than he had, and not even make an NBA team ever. There are guys who've had great Julys and Augusts that just don't make it. So this is part of the cycle, the news cycle, where we're just like, all right, this guy played well. What are we going to do with him? We always get crazy with these picks, and he may never make it in the NBA for all we know. But right now, I can see him saying, look, I want a chance. I want a chance. I want a better chance than what we originally offered. You know, it's Darth Vader and Lando Calrissian. I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Yeah, I don't know that reference either, man.
Oh, Jesus. Man, you're kidding me.
Give me some basketball references, man. That's what I got over here.
Oh, God. You didn't get... I mean, that was a layup Star Wars reference. Okay, fine. Move on.
I watched Star Wars when I was a kid, you know, like 20 years ago. I was a kid. I was watching a kid's movie. I'm not a grown man talking about Child's Play, John. You know what I started, though, is Broadchurch. Broadchurch is a great show.
I don't know. Where is that?
It's on Netflix. I don't know what channel it was on originally, but really good show. Fascinating show. I implore the people to check it out.
Okay.
It's not Child's Play like Star Wars. I'm going to piss some people off because
you are going to piss a lot of people off.
Star Wars people are freaks, man. Star Wars people.
We love our Star Wars. Yeah. I thought that was a good reference. That's fine. This is where we have our disagreements. But yet you'll watch like Boy Meets World.
I mean, that's the greatest show of all time.
Right. Okay. Moving on, we're going to start. Let's get rid of some of these questions here and move forward and wrap this sucker up. At Larton, do you think Danny will do a trade before starting the season regarding the center position? I don't think the Celtics make a trade until December when all of these limitations go up. So I think this team is what it is moving forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if it was, or if it would be a minor move to clear a roster space, because obviously they're going to need to pare the roster down. So, yeah, we'll see. The center, like, it would be nice to have as Danny Ainge once said, a big, strong center. But they have Horford, Amir Johnson, and Tyler Zeller. Like, that's three good or better centers. So, you're not going to get anybody, I don't think, better than Zeller at this stage.
Yeah, this is what it is. So I wouldn't expect anything big. Any realistic trade target is pretty much off the market now, and I'm not buying into any potential Philly trades or anything like that. I think that's what's done is done. Seth Black at Rocket Man 623. What's the realistic worst case scenario for the Seas in the next 5 years? Now this is excluding injuries. So no, for example, no big trade, and they whiff on all of their picks. So the worst case scenario, if that happens, if all of these draft picks just don't pan out, that the Brooklyn trade ends up just being fumbled and Jaylen Brown never materializes, and the next year's pick, they get the wrong guy and he doesn't pan out, the worst case scenario is that they never get beyond a third or fourth seed. They stay in purgatory, and then they have to blow it up in 3 years and start the whole process over again. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, Jaylen Brown doesn't pan out. 2017 Nets pick doesn't pan out. 2018 Nets pick doesn't pan out. Marcus Smart never developed.
I mean, there's a lot that has to go wrong there. I mean, that would have to be some pretty damn bad luck.
Bad luck and bad drafting and bad developing. So, yeah, the beauty of what they've done is they've given themselves so many opportunities to hit the lottery. And I don't mean the lottery on the draft lottery. I mean
the proverbial lottery.
The proverbial lottery, yeah. So, you know, if Jaylen Brown becomes a star, bam, all of a sudden you have that star player and you have a lot of draft picks and you have salary cap space. And if Marcus Smart takes a leap, then same thing. Now you have Jaylen Brown. Maybe he'll do it too. So there's – and then you take a chance in free agency next year, and you have all these opportunities for trades just in case somebody hits the trade market. And that's what Danny Ainge has done, and that's the beauty of it. And that's why, you know, the Celtics are in such a good position because they have so many opportunities. It's like in poker, man. Like they've set themselves up with a lot of outs. And already they're the second or third best team in the Eastern Conference. So
it's not bad.
Yeah.
Seth Black, we'll answer this other one too. If you could switch assets, players, picks, et cetera, with any other team except Golden State and Cleveland, who would you want? Basically, switch places with any other team.
I can't wait until you answer Philadelphia.
No.
Are you going to say Philadelphia?
No, not at all.
No?
No, no, no.
Who are you going to say?
I'm trying to choose between Utah and Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota.
I think I'd pick Minnesota. I mean
Towns is ready-made superstar. Utah doesn't have that. So that's why I think you got to go with Minnesota. Although Utah's deep, and Utah has a lot of young talent.
Utah's deep and good. They're really good at a lot of spots. They don't have that one megastar, like you said. Towns is a stud. I mean, this kid is good. You know, up there with Anthony Davis. Like, those two guys, to me, I'm just like, trade the world for. And look, you've got options now. When you're Minnesota, you talk about assets. They can make some moves. You can trade Dunn. There are guys on that team that you can make a move for that are good, and you can maybe surround that talent. If the fit isn't necessarily there, ultimately they can do some things. So I like Minnesota's situation. I think Minnesota in 2 or 3 years has the potential to be one of the three best teams out west.
Philly has a chance too, man. Philly. Ben Simmons is going to be a stud. Maybe not a superstar, but he'll be an all-star type. If Embiid stays healthy, obviously you can't trust that. But then Saric is a player, and they've got probably two top 10 picks next year. Philly, John. Hinkie, say you're sorry to Hinkie. Just tell him you're sorry.
I no way. No way.
Tell him you're sorry, John.
No way, man. No way. Plus, it's not even his team anymore. I definitely wanted to see how that panned out, but this is not. They've changed. They've changed how their whole approach.
What did they change? Who did they sign that really made you think they changed? Nobody. They're running it the same way, man.
Now, hold on. No, let me pull up their whole
in brand. Is that what you were thinking about?
No, it's just the strategy is different. Like, yeah,
they got lucky in the lottery finally.
Well, that's true too, but they're. I wasn't expecting to do so much Philly right now, but fine. I'll dive into this real quick. They are trying to actually put a competitive team out there. That I don't think that
But what did they do? Like, who did they sign that was like, oh, they're trying to put a competitive team out there? Like, it's just that Embiid's healthy and Saric is coming over and they got the number one pick in the draft, who happened to be Ben Simmons. I'm not convinced they changed much. I mean, maybe they did, and maybe they will, but not yet. Yeah. Yep, that's the sound of silence.
I'm looking at their roster right now. I think they definitely changed their strategy from when Hinkie was there. They're just trying to lose, and if they weren't very good this year, they would go out there and try to lose some more. And I don't think that that's going to be the goal this year. I think they've changed. Look, they changed the front office. They changed the coach. They changed.
They didn't change the coach.
No, they've changed. They've changed the. Because they brought in. Jesus Christ,
D'Antoni.
Man.
They brought in D'Antoni.
Yes, they brought in D'Antoni. So, they did things that made it obvious that they were. Trying to go in a different direction. So they're not, you can't sit there and say that they're trying to be the Hinkie. It's the same strategy. It's not the same strategy.
I don't know. I think they just got lucky finally with the number one pick and bam, now they're better. Now they're looking good. Sorry, Sam. John's sorry, even though he won.
I'm not sorry. I hated what he did with that team. I hated it. And look, you're still counting on Embiid, and
I'm not counting on anybody. I'm just intrigued by them now. The last 3 years, I have had no level of intrigue with the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, finally, you know, I'm watching Dario Saric in the Olympics. He's kind of intriguing. Ben Simmons, love that kid's game. Low key, Sixers might be one of my league pass go tos until they're like 10-50, and then I'll back off that.
Right. So then everything we just talked about is out the window.
Yeah, but still, John Saric.
No. Okay. Let's get to some of these fun questions.
What else we got for questions?
Brian Johnson, isn't it time to retire the fireworks comment?
Yes, yeah.
Wick said it 2 years ago, and the team has made lots of great moves since.
Yeah, let's retire this.
I've said that. I bet you Wick regrets that comment every day.
Or maybe he doesn't, because people say it all the time, and the Celtics are getting that press because of it. But it is long past time. I mean, they signed Al Horford, guys, like four-time All-Star. I was on the radio the other night, and someone asked me about the fireworks and if this summer has been disappointing. I'm like, what did you expect from this summer? Like,
right.
Like, do people expect guys, teams to just put together like a contender every summer? Is that what this is? Like, signing the second-best free agent and separating yourself from everybody except Cleveland and Toronto in the Eastern Conference, that's a pretty damn good summer, I would say. So, and drafting the number 3 overall pick. We'll see what happens with Jaylen Brown, but man, retire the fireworks, because they've already had fireworks. And yeah, it would be nice to have more fireworks, but let's just stop saying that word. I got to stop saying that word.
No more. No, I agree.
No, let's more fireworks. We've deaded fireworks. We've deaded the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays has deaded the term fireworks. Anybody who uses it, we're going to dead them too.
At Eric 41234, what would each player on the Celtics most likely be if they didn't play basketball?
I like this question.
We can't go through everybody, but let's just pick some of these guys, because it's 18 guys. I'm not going through that all. But You'd like to think like Marcus Smart would be like an NFL running back or something. Like he'd just need to hit something.
Yeah, linebacker maybe.
I think at his height, I think he'd be a good running back. Just give him the ball, put his head down, hard to knock over.
Yeah. Kelly Olynyk would be like just a burnout.
Kelly Olynyk would be
a professional hacky sack player.
Yeah. No, I think he'd have like, what's that video game, the Twitch? He'd have like a super popular like Twitch account where he'd just be sitting there playing video. He'd be like an e-gamer.
Do you know whatever. Who's good at that is Jonas Jerebko.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jonas Jerebko is like really into that and really good at it, I think.
Well, see, I think I picture that as for Olynyk. Huh? I think let's see, who else out there? Isaiah Thomas. What would Isaiah Thomas be if he wasn't playing basketball?
I don't think
he would exist.
No, I feel like I don't think he would exist.
I think if basketball went away, Isaiah Thomas would just poof, disappear.
I think he would be like a coach. There's so much positivity to that guy. I think he would be a really good coach.
I feel like, you know what I think he might be? Because he's always trying to prove somebody wrong. I feel like he'd be like one of those tough mutter type of guys. Like, just always, or like an American ninja or something like that. Like if he wasn't trying to prove himself playing basketball, he'd be out there trying to prove himself some other way. And he'd be like into extreme sports.
Yeah, he'd be a ninja.
Yeah, like he'd be on that American, he'd be like doing those crazy things. Have you watched American Ninja at all?
So one of my good friends has been on that show. Like he's apparently really good at it. I've never watched it though. Like I'm such a bad friend because I didn't even watch when he was on. But
I don't. You know, it's like one of those things that if you're flipping around and it's on, it's fun to kind of leave on for a little bit. Or it's great to watch at a bar when it's just on. You don't need the sound because they're just doing these crazy things that I don't understand how these human beings are doing what they're doing. It's kind of insane. I feel like he would be one of those guys. Crap. And then I feel like you know, Al Horford would just be like, I don't know, he'd be running some like little,
he'd be like a mayor or something.
Yeah, or like he'd run some charity, or he'd just be like some guy that just, he's, I don't know, something. He's like so super nice.
Yeah. Crowder, like security guard.
Yeah,
like fierce, overzealous security guard.
Like security, not like
security,
we're not talking
security
about like
someone huge,
like a famous person.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like one of Floyd Mayweather's like security, like that.
Sure.
Just walk around with Floyd Mayweather. That guy's,
yeah,
got some big old enforcers with him.
Yeah, like he's the type. Right. Like, or like Miley Cyrus or some like super famous, super like Lady
Cyrus,
Gaga.
Man.
Something like that. You just see him with the sunglasses and the earpiece. Or like Secret Service. Why not just be Secret Service? Can you imagine Jay Crowder coming out? You're like, yeah, I'll get out of your way, sir. That's,
yeah,
a big, scary dude.
Yeah, you just forget about all your plots to rob someone as soon as you see Crowder. You're like, yeah. forget about that, man. Sorry.
New target.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Couple more. Last two. For Mark Corey 10 in a John versus Jay 3-on-3 game, which two Celtics are you choosing to run with?
Ooh,
snake draft.
So
snake
we're
draft
in this.
Form. So it's me against you. We're picking teams.
Okay.
Okay. Snake draft format.
You can't do snake draft because if
yeah,
you're only picking
two. Yeah, it's
just
two guys. Yeah, yeah, so we're only two. But okay, so let's just do two. You're picking two. We got the whole Celtics roster in front of us. You gave me the first pick the last time. I'll give you the first pick this time. We're picking two guys. We're playing 3-on-3 against each other.
I need Horford because I need someone to cover up my mistakes defensively, man. Give me Horford. I got Horford.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to need somebody to spot up. You know what? I'll take Isaiah. I'll take Isaiah.
All right. See, now this is tough. Because I need a playmaker. But also, I could just, like, beat you with brute force. Also, I could probably need someone to guard Isaiah. But who the hell is going to do that? Marcus? Do I want Marcus, Avery, or Jay? Marcus, Avery, or Jay? So this is 3-on-3. So all I'm going to be doing when we play, I'm going to be spotting up at in the corner, man. I'm a waste of space offensively, except when I'm letting it fly, splitting the nets with swish after swish after swish.
So, and then you've got Horford. So,
and then I got Horford. So
I need somebody to handle the rock.
I need somebody to handle the rock, but also I could just beat you with brute force. Like, is Isaiah going to? I guess he could guard me. So that.
Yes.
But then that means you got to guard one of my other guys. So I'm picking Crowder. We're just going to beat you with brute force, man.
I was going to go for Crowder. Okay, you know what? I will take Olynyk. So it's me, Olynyk, and Isaiah Thomas. So that's going to be tough because I would need...
You're going to guard Crowder. or Isaiah's going to guard Crowder. Either way, you're screwed.
Either way, I'm screwed.
But we're screwed too, probably.
Because I got the shooting.
I'll probably shut Isaiah down. So we won't have to worry about him. And if he guarded me, I would definitely score in the post every time.
we would have to guard each other. If we're talking about a legit 3-on-3 game, like right now, playing with our skills,
obviously we'd guard each other.
So we'd obviously be guarding each other, which means I would have to basically help off of you. And whenever Crowder got the ball and tried to post up, I'd have to help.
Because then I'm getting wide open jumpers, and then I might end up the high scorer in this 3-on-3 game.
You might.
And then I would have bragging rights for the rest of my life.
Right, right. But then, like, just don't miss.
Oh,
because
I won't.
If we get the ball, I get the shooting.
Yeah,
I'll set some mean screens, man.
I will run your ass over if you set a screen.
Can you imagine trying to set a screen on Jay Crowder? No. Have him just try to fight through it once. Just lower the shoulder and just knock me on my ass. It'd become a 2-on-2 game pretty quick with you and me sitting on the sidelines nursing very painful injuries.
Nah, I'm just sitting in the corner shooting my threes, man. That's all I'm here for. I'm not bumping with anybody. I'm not banging with anybody. That's why I got Horford.
All right. That's going to be a tough matchup. I wonder how that would go. Last question. Celtic 34 fan, what kind of bourbon do you drink? Are you a bourbon drinker?
I don't think I've ever had a sip of bourbon in my life, to be honest. I'm a beer guy. I don't drink vodka. I don't drink whiskey. I don't drink. I'm just straight beer. Give me an IPA or a Bud Light, man. I'm simple.
Okay. I am all of those things. I'll drink a beer. I will drink a bourbon. I will drink a whatever. I do not discriminate, but I do enjoy a bourbon. The easy answer is whichever one is in front of me.
Briefly be in front of you.
Yes, this does not take long. I will say this, that for an everyday, just you want to come home from work and chill out and have a drink, a simple Evan Williams. It's cheap, but it's good, and you can get a handle of it, I would think, for under $30, and that'll do you just fine. It's not. It's a good bourbon that's affordable.
It's like, however, the Jonas Jerebko of bourbons.
Right. If you want to treat yourself, I mean, I do like a Bullet bourbon. Bullet makes a nice bourbon. And then even the Maker's Mark, they have a special cask, 46, I believe it's called. That's really good stuff. Dude, so
I don't know anything about that alcohol stuff, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I'm not going to pretend that I can, like, I'm not one of those like super snobby bourbon guys, but like I can enjoy a variety of them, be just fine. But any of these, you know, they're all good to me. They're all good to me. I've not had many, unless they try to artificially mess with the aging process, because bourbon has to age over a certain time and you have to get the flavors of the barrel. But I'm not going to get too deep into it. But bourbon's gotten so popular that you have to age it, but it's gotten so popular that they've run low. And so some people are trying to do like chemical reactions that make it seem like it's aging, but they don't really age it, and it's that stuff's not good.
We're getting deep into the bourbon talk here. We are getting deep into the chemical process of bourbon over here.
Yeah. No, I like it though. Yeah. I like it. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of bourbon. I enjoy sitting back with a cigar and a bourbon and some basketball. I mean, that to me is a great night.
And some
Don't
Star
do it very
Wars
often.
And some Simpsons.
Yeah, man.
Some more
now
child
you're
stuff.
Getting it.
Some more now. Child stuff.
Jesus. Okay, that'll do it for the show. Thanks for all of your questions. Very much appreciated. Always appreciate you tweeting at us with the hashtag #RainandJays. That is without the G. Rain and Jays, send out your questions whenever, and we'll, you know, compile them, and we'll get to them every once in a while. Be sure to check out, as we said before, the Locked On Patriots podcast. If you are a Patriots fan, as well as a Celtics fan, that's going to be really good stuff. Check out the Scout on Locked On NBA. Just go to wherever you get your podcast, wherever you subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you go, just search Locked On. Locked On Celtics, you can find us and subscribe. Locked On Patriots, Locked On NBA, it's all there. Check it out. So until next time, we thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.